Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. We know that power to be the power of God. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the whole church said, that's what it says in Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Well, thank you, Paul. Great song. Rising up and standing up before God. What a marvelous thing to think of. And David, you couldn't have a more perfect lesson for the kids today. You know, in the Bible that I know of, I have counted 16 revival lessons. Now, there may be more than that. I just may have missed one, but 16 that I knew of and that I searched them out. And I'm not going to preach all 16 today. Okay? Just one of them. But I want to talk to us today about revival, about being revived again. That's a marvelous thing. And I loved Harry's answer to your macaroni question. What happens when we put it in the water? Comes alive. Well, after that dry stuff you made those kids eat, shame on you. They all wanted to be brave and take a little bite of that, you know, so they could say, well, I've eaten dry macaroni. But that really is what God does for us, isn't it? He makes us alive. He brings life to us. And I want to try to encourage you today from the book of Psalms, the 85th Psalm, and really the whole Psalm. I'm going to feature just the first six verses as I read them to you here to begin with. But this whole Psalm is all about being revived. In fact, in our responsive reading, as we read today before we began singing, we had a carry-on, because that was from the 86th Psalm, and it was still reiterating what had been written in the Psalm before, and that was our idea of being made alive by Christ. Psalm 85, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, You showed favor to Your land. You restored the captivity of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of Your people. That word iniquity literally means to go in a zigzag course, Donald. I'd get dizzy doing that today if I had to do that. But that's what it means, to go in a zigzag rather than to stay on the path. You forgave the iniquity of Your people, and You covered all their sin. You withdrew all of Your fury, and You turned away from Your burning anger. Restore us, O God of our salvation, and cause Your indignation toward us to cease. Will You be angry with us forever? Will You prolong Your anger to all generations? Will You not Yourself revive us again, that Your people may rejoice in You? You know, I think that too often as a Christian, we want to enjoy the blessings of God's favor while we sometimes overlook what the real root of the problem may be in our own personal life that's keeping the blessings from flowing as they really should in our life. I want to illustrate that to you, to tell you that I'm not devoid of having found myself going in the wrong direction. One time while we were on vacation on the way up to Red River, I had or began to get a toothache. How many of you in the who's had a toothache? Everybody loves a toothache, right? It's right next to an earache. You like those too, don't you? Well, a toothache. Well, it just so happened that when we travel, we always try to dump the medicine cabinet out, so we always bring whatever pills we might have, and there just happened to be some that I'd had from a previous toothache. Who knows whether they're expired or not, but we had some codeine tablets, hydrocodone, and I began taking them. And they did mask the pain, or at least they did give me some relief as we drove along on our way to New Mexico. But as we continued on the journey, the pain got worse. That pain kept feeling more pain, if you know what I mean. It got worse. And it didn't address what was the real problem. By the time we'd gotten into Red River, New Mexico, I was I was hurting real bad, and I needed to do something about it. So I called my dentist back down in Texas, and he said, "Well, you can take all the hydrocodone you want, and you'll probably pass out if you do, but it's not going to help what you're facing. You've got an infection. You need an antibiotic. I'm calling it in." And I said, "Praise the Lord." He sent the antibiotic in, and we got the prescription, and I started taking the antibiotic, and guess what? Didn't need the hydrocodone. Infection went away. The pain subsided. Now, I want to use that as my illustration as we get started in what I want to talk about this morning. I think it illustrates how easy it is sometimes as a Christian to get involved in doing the same thing spiritually. We know that maybe within us that there's a lacking or a problem, that we feel some pain on the inside, but we often only treat the symptom and never leave the real problem. Or we leave the real problem untreated, unresolved. We want to go down maybe to worship and pop a few sermon pills, or a song or a music pill. A great song, there's a great stirring deep within us. That lifts us up and makes us feel great. At least I can't sing that song without tears coming to my eyes. It's just a marvelous song, touches my heart. Everybody's watching, right? Because this is our heart, what we're thinking about. But we're in hopes that because of that, and maybe you're in hopes that because you're here, that you'll be able to go home today feeling better. And I hope that you do. But I hope you'll address what is the real need. That is the need for our revival that comes from the Lord. And relying on other things to cure our spiritual pains or our defeats will never work. We can't fix the revival need with more good deeds or more good church programs or more good singings or more good sermons. You should amen there. Because the truth is, true revival has to be the inner work of the Lord and no one else. We have to have the Lord within us. We have to ask for His help. We can see that our society is in a state of spiritual decline all around us. But what about the decline spiritually that is among the followers of Christ? We need to return to the Lord before we can ever hope to reflect real change in our society. That's why when we come together like this, this is why we want to encourage one another to have the Lord in our life. The psalmist here describes the problem and what it means to return to God or to the Lord, who is faithful to draw us back to Himself. Or as David was pointing out in Ezekiel 37, bones that had gone dry and were no, just a valley of dry bones, that only God could make them stand up and have life again. We must return to the Lord and let the Lord revive us. It's the only answer. It's the only way that it can take place for us in our life. And you see, the idea of revival within itself suggests that there is spiritual decline. Just the idea of what we read here. You restored the captivity of Jacob, said the psalmist. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You see, already outlining or telling to us that they had been in difficulty spiritually themselves. They needed their sins to be covered. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? You see, that's the idea, to be revived. I don't know whether you know this or not, but things that come across a preacher's desk or things are all kinds of information, but in almost all of the surveys that come across that I read, we're finding more and more that in the Christian realm, people are divorcing at the same rate that people are that are not in the Christian realm. We're finding that in the church, that there is pain and abuse within too many churches. There are families that are suffering just like people who are not in churches and going to churches. And I'm saying that to you to say that that's not maybe your problem or our problem, but we cannot influence the world around us until we influence ourselves with the Lord. And let Him be seen in our lives. Too many churches display a spirit of lifelessness and decline. And there's an obvious need of the idea of returning to the Lord. In the Psalm 85, down in verse 8, it says, the psalmist says, I will hear what God, the Lord, will say, for He will speak peace to His people and to His godly ones, but let them not turn back into folly. So in other words, we need God to help us do that and go in the right direction. Just like me taking codeine pills when I had an infected tooth. I mean, I can take the pills and I might feel a little better, but I am not ever going to feel completely whole until the infection was gone. And spiritually, brethren, just treating our symptoms is not going to be enough. Popping a pill is only a short-term solution to a long-term problem. We must be able to change the root problem, and that is the life of the believer needs to be changed. I'm saying to all of us, I don't think there's a one of us in this crowd that has not ever faced discouragement and needed to be encouraged or needed to be spiritually boosted, that we have faced spiritual decline. We may mask it with a smile and say that, oh no, I'm doing great for the Lord, but that isn't true. It is shown in our congregations all over the place. We need to invite the Lord into our lives to revive us and have us to be alive for the Lord. Revival motivates us to serve the Lord. We have to start relating and thinking better. There's a difference between church programs and true spiritual revival. And please don't hear me saying that church programs are not good. I'm saying if you're trying to make yourself better, don't go looking for a new program before you start looking at you. And seeing to it that you are dedicated to the Lord God Almighty. And that you've invited the Lord into your life to help you become what you need to be spiritually. It's the only way it works. Revival is the restoration of the spiritual life of God's people. God's people have to be reconnected to Him. And connections can be lost over time. Right? Say yes. Or amen. Can you hear me now? Surely you've been somewhere when you had an important one to get placed. Oh man, I can't hear you. Speak up. You're fading out. Do we do that spiritually with our Lord? Is the connection not really there? Have you not built your cell tower so that you can actually have a connection with the Lord? Everybody knows what cell towers do. That's what makes these things work. That's why you get so frustrated when you're somewhere where the cell tower is hidden from your device. Or you get out in the trees or over in the mountains and the signals are blocked. Don't we do that spiritually? By moving away from the Lord and forgetting the things that really empower us to do good things for Him? You see, it doesn't start with the program. It starts with me. Will you not yourself revive us again that your people may rejoice in you, says the psalmist to us? He doesn't want us just to be facing some sort of a restoration thing. He wants us to be changed. God must bring the revival to His people before it can spread to others. Let me say that again. God must bring revival to His people before it can spread to others. God doesn't have another plan. Jesus is coming again. How many agree with that? Is He coming to preach the gospel? He's not. He's coming to gather those that are His and take them home. And for those who are not, well, you know this end of that story. The only plan He has is the plan that is set into force right now. And that's that we carry the gospel message. That only happens when we're alive in Christ ourselves. So we can take that message to the neighbor. I'm not talking about reforming the way you live. Revival's not a reformation. It's an external change. That's all reformation is to, we need some kind of change from within us that brings about a permanent thing. I think politics, I'm sorry I'm even using that word in the Lord's pulpit, but I think they show us that reformation won't always change the situation. What has to happen is real change to happen within people. Reformation is concerned mostly with the outside, more than the actual activity that's required on the inside. Going through the motions is missing the point of revival. And rituals and routines often overshadow the reason behind what we do on the regular basis. You see, the root problem is dealing with God's demand for righteousness. Matthew writes in chapter 6 of his book, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His," what, congregation? You know it. His righteousness. We are seeking the righteousness of God. And then he promises that all these things, that's the things he's previously talked about, how he cares for the birds of the air and how he takes care of the flowers of the field, and all of those things come provided we have our priorities straight and that we're seeking righteousness. God is the God of love, and he's the God also of righteousness. The need, you see, for revival always springs from some sort of idolatry. I hope you hear that. The need for revival always comes from some source of idolatry. That means something else is number one in your life rather than the Lord is number one in your life. Anything else is idolatry. Anything else that takes your attention away from serving God and doing like God wants is going to stop the flow of the blessings of God into your life by the way that it needs to come. Revival is needed because the true God has been replaced by a false God. Our actions prove our thoughts and our allegiance. God's divine standards have to be dealt with. God's wrath against sin in the area of the Christian life is often overlooked, hope you're listening, because it can be uncomfortable. We have become so grace-driven, we have forgotten that faith is an action that requires me to have responsibility to do what God has asked me to do. I'm not saying God isn't graceful. I'm not saying that He doesn't want everyone to be saved. I'm not saying He's the most magnificent, wonderful gift that we have ever received and ever will receive. But He is expecting something from me. And that's a response to His teaching and His Word. To be faithful. To be called as Abraham was, the father of the faithful. That means he did what he heard from the message of God. He made that become a part of his life. You remember in that song, in the Psalm 25, and we often sing it, it's also in terms of a song, but one of those verses is, "Remember not the sins of my youth. Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed." Yes, God, help me. Help me to be retrained and to understand that I need to be taken back to where we should have been as we read that the salvation has come from our God. Our God is the author and the source of that salvation. And we need to know where we stand with God. I'm not talking about arrogance, but being on the wrong side or the right side of God makes all the difference in the world with how you live your life. So you can follow Him and know what He has to say and know that He is going to deliver us from our sin. That's what the psalmist has said. "I will hear God, the Lord will say, for He will speak peace to His people." This is verse 8 of the 85th Psalm. "To His godly ones, but let them not turn back back to folly." And then He will tell us that loving kindness and truth have met together. We'll see that here in a point at the end. We need to be delivered. God has told us of His wrath and that we need deliverance from that wrath. His wrath is in a built-in holy wrath, not a reactionary kind of thing. But I want to call you into remembrance of something written in the New Testament. I want you to turn in your New Testament to the book of Romans. I want you to go to chapter 1. And I want you to come down to verse 18. Now, there's a lot of things that are important that have been said before all of this in the book of Romans. Stuff like the idea that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to all those who believe it, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. But you see, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed by faith. And as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That means being faithful and doing what God has asked. But listen to what the consequences of not following God are for just a moment. For the wrath of God, this is verse 18, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, this goes all the way back, okay, folks, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give Him thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I mean, that's pretty plain, isn't it? That the righteousness of God is the point. And we need to remember that we need to be delivered from the wrath of God. And sometimes we forget about that. Because we very often only hear the idea of how loving God is and wonderful and everybody is going to heaven. God is looking for faithful people who believe in the righteousness of God and who live their lives accordingly. That's not always easy to hear nor to do. God speaks grace and peace to His people. There's no doubt about it. I don't want to leave you with a hard note. I want to come to you with this. That God is present when mercy meets truth. God brings together truth and His mercy. He brings together the things that were separate beforehand. In the 85th Psalm, and in verse 10, it says, loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Often truth springs from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. Indeed, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its produce. Righteousness will go before Him and will make His footsteps into a way. God wants us to move ever closer to Him, not away from Him. This old idea of I don't need all those folks down there is completely false. We need each other, and we need the Word of the Lord to help us stay pumped up and directed toward what He wants in this life. Not what I want, but what He wants. We need to be revived. Oh Lord, revive us again. God of our salvation and our hope, revive us again. If you want to be revived today, it can happen. It just simply takes your willingness to make it known. We would love to respond to you and encourage you with the love of Jesus Christ, because He died for you. We pray that you'll come while we stand and while we sing. Won't you come?
There is a name I love to